So in the wake of the Barack Obama victory and the potential party and political realignment that it represents, it's worthwhile to go back way before Karl Rove, way before George W. Bush, to the man who potentially started the tactics of divide and conquer in Washington and around the United States, to the land and the time of Lee Atwater. And joining us is the filmmaker, Emmy and Peabody Award-winning filmmaker Stefan Forbes, whose latest film is called Boogeyman, The Lee Atwater Story, and it airs tomorrow night on your local PBS station on Frontline. Stefan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We're going to play a little bit of Lee Atwater and get a feel for his particular style. Boogeyman is actually a double entendre there because he's a rock and roller. Lee Atwater is. He's not a scary guy. I mean, he is a scary guy to Democrats who had to face him, but he was also, a musician.
Right. And it's even a triple entendre, I would venture to say, because he learned about our fears and he learned how to reach to the heart of our deepest fears about race and crime and things like that by using this guy Willie Horton as a boogeyman, and then the Democrats began using Atwater as a boogeyman. So there's all kinds of boogeymen in this story.
Now, let's put the resume up for people to think about here. You mentioned the Willie Horton ad, which brought down Dukakis.
Sure.
Right, in 1988.
Or prevented him from getting up.
Right, prevented him from getting up. What other memorable political tactics was Lee Atwater responsible for?
Well, it was actually a lot of fun making the movie and uncovering some of these things. I mean, in 72, Karl Rove was running for chairman of the College Republicans. You know, completely unknown guy. Atwater was his campaign manager, and they lose. Atwater just says, no, I'm not going to accept defeat. They start throwing out ballots of the opposition. The whole thing gets kicked upstairs to the head of the Republican Party, who's a kind of obscure functionary named George H.W. Bush. And the three of these guys have this mind meld. Bush gives the election to Rove and Atwater. And Atwater has really taught Rove a lesson he learned, you know, years later in 2000 in Florida. You know, it's never over. Just take the election, claim the victory.
And something in the year 2000 that, maybe is an echo to that old college Republican battle that George H.W. Bush acted as the Supreme Court of and basically called the election. Let's talk about the style of Lee Atwater. Here was somebody who loved the press, who loved politics, and was an absolute charmer. Kind of a devilish combination, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and he kind of masqueraded as this country rube, you know, guitar-picking rascal from South Carolina. He'd actually gone back to grad school to get a degree in communications, and he knew the weak points of the press.
Well, listen to Lee Atwater in action here, talking about Michael Dukakis and then Michael Dukakis' reaction as it appears in your film.
And what does Dukakis do? Every time he stands up, he attacks George Bush. He's a hypocrite. We all know that. You know it, too. That is reflective of the kind of out-of-touch crowd they are. They probably sat up in Brookline eating Belgium endives and a quiche out of the can and figured, well, what...
Well, obviously, he and the folks around Bush were trying to make me a kind of Northeast liberal who was out of touch and that kind of thing. I mean, the irony of this is that, you know, I'm the guy who was the son of Greek immigrants who came over here and lived the American dream. Nothing against Yankee Brahmins who were here since 1630.
I mean, here's the story of Lee Atwater, who's Strom Thurmond's protege in the Senate in South Carolina, taking on this style where he plants this innuendo and plants these sort of boogeyman ideas that take down people, even if it's completely at odds with who they actually are. What are some other examples?
Well, in that same race, I mean, he worked really hard to plant this smear that Dukakis suffered from mental illness. And I talked to Bob Novak about it in the movie, and he says, you know, Atwater had this crazy idea that I would print things that weren't double-sourced, you know, which always gets a laugh. But, you know, Novak didn't print it. Then they had a reporter actually plant the question in a White House press conference, and Ronald Reagan said, hey, I'm not going to pick on an invalid. I mean, the president of the United States called the Democratic nominee insane. It hit front pages all around the country, and it was a kind of politics of innuendo and smear that Atwater actually taught his party. This is the way you win.
And it makes me think of what John Stewart now calls this post-factual world that we live in, and it seems like Atwater was certainly at the front of helping to create that world where you say something enough, it becomes true even when the facts belie it.
one of Lee's confidants, Tucker Eskew, who he trained and went on to be a senior advisor to McCain, said Lee was the first person he ever heard say, perception is reality. You know, just say it so. And it's this new kind of Southern evangelical Christian faith-based politics where he taught the GOP to just say whatever they wanted and make it so.
You know, the interesting thing about that, though, is that, and if you see this film, it's fantastic, it's a WGBH production, Frontline. You know, Karl Rove had to say it a lot for it to be true. Atwater only had to say it a couple times, and his fingerprints were never on the backstabbing tactic. That's the other thing about him.
Yeah, and he, you know, he had a favorite saying, wrestling is the only honest sport in town, because it's so obviously phony. It didn't even try to be like a real sport, and that's how he saw politics. And Atwater was seen as this cool guy by this whole generation of Washington reporters and a young generation of political operatives.
Untimely end in a very tragic way.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
Well.
But not before he infected them with that politics as wrestling view of the world.
Hmm. So is there a lesson? What do you think Lee Atwater would say about what happened last Tuesday?
Well, they ran his playbook, which has been winning elections long after his death, almost every time. They ran it in such a ham-fisted way. And I really don't think they understood, you know, the horror and revulsion of most Americans at overtly racist rhetoric coming out. You know, their campaigns turned into kind of hate rallies. And they just released the news that as Sarah Palin's rhetoric got worse, the threat level against Barack Obama went higher and higher. People
wow.
are really out there trying to kill him because of this kind of rhetoric. So
the play they forgot was, if you're going to do it, you have to be subtle. You
exactly.
have to be charming, and you maybe have to play the guitar. Stefan Forbes, thank you very much.
Good pleasure.
Stefan Forbes' film, The Boogeyman, all about Lee Atwater, is on tomorrow night on PBS. It's a Frontline WGBH production. WGBH, of course, our partner. Thanks so much for coming in, Stefan.
And here at The Takeaway, we're still putting together our briefing book for President-elect Barack Obama. Gary tells us on our website, the linchpin of our Mideast policy needs to be the unsolved Palestinian issue. Without the view that the U.S. is honestly brokering peace, we will never solve the larger issues facing us throughout the Muslim world. I suggest to Barack Obama that he read Jimmy Carter's book, Palestine, Peace, Not Apartheid. Give us your thoughts.
877-8-MY-TAKE. Here's your takeaway.
If food prices stay high for a couple of years, we've created a generation that are both physically and mentally damaged.
That's Paul Collier, director of the Center for the Study of African Economies at Oxford University. We're always on at The Takeaway, and you can check out our podcast on iTunes if you missed anything.
I'm John Huckabee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Adoree Udoji.